Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we're going to study Judges chapter 19, verses 1 through 4, and this will be an introduction to some other stuff that we're going to study in this particular chapter. But we want to clarify a piece of it, and rather than rush through and do it as part of another lesson, we'd like to dedicate the time today to the study of this word concubine. Judges chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. Now, in this particular passage, there's a fellow that's got a concubine. She leaves. He goes to retrieve her. Then when he gets there, some problems happen on the way home that eventually lead to the near destruction of an entire tribe in Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. Well, leading up to all of that, we have these four verses, Judges chapter 19, verse 1. It came to pass in those days when there was no king in Israel that there was a certain Levite sojourning on the side of Mount Ephraim, who took to him a concubine out of Bethlehem, Judah. And his concubine played the whore against him, and went away from him unto her father's house to Bethlehem, Judah, and was there 4 whole months. And her husband arose, and went after her to speak friendly unto her, and to bring her again, having his servant with him, and a couple of asses. And she brought him into her father's house, and when the father of the damsel saw him, he rejoiced to meet him. And his father-in-law, the damsel's father, retained him, and he abode with him 3 days, so that he'd eat and drink and lodged there. Now, in this particular passage, we see this word concubine used. And, you know, part of what we want to study is what is a concubine. And then we want to look at some cross-references to see in the Bible how the word is treated to give us a biblical perspective. And then we're going to make some applications to our lives today, based upon what the Bible says. All right, now when you read in Judges chapter 19 about this man who dwelt on the side of Mount Ephraim that has a concubine out of Bethlehem, Judah, the first thing that comes to mind is, what is the nature of their relationship? I mean, why is she called a concubine and not a wife? Or why is she called a concubine and not a girlfriend? You know, the question arises, what is the distinction? And truly, the distinction can be a little bit hard to define. For instance, she is from Bethlehem, Judah, and he is from Mount Ephraim. So, presumably, there's some similarity, in their, you know, geographic location, some similarity in their culture. And so you look at this and you're going, well, why does she have to be a concubine? What is that? Well, notice immediately in the text when you get to verse 3 that he is called her husband and her father is called his father-in-law in verse 4. You see that? So right away we can tell from the particular passage that the concubine is a wife. You see that? Because in verse 3, the man is her husband, and the woman's father, in verse 4, is his father-in-law. You see that? Now, what we want to do is we want to look at a couple of other passages in the Bible to see if maybe other passages corroborate what we just discovered. And that is that a concubine, in fact, is a wife. Okay? Go to Genesis chapter 25 as an example. Genesis chapter 25. And in Genesis chapter 25, we are reading the second occurrence of the word concubine. The first occurrence is in Genesis 22:24. Okay? But here in Genesis 25:6, we are reading the use of this word concubine again. Notice, under the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac, his son, while he yet lived eastward into the east country. All right, we'll look at verse 1 in Genesis 25. Then again, Abraham took, what's the next word, or two words, a wife, and her name was Keturah. Do you see that? Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. She bare him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. And then we see Jokshan's descendants. And we see the grandchildren of Jokshan in verse 3. And then we see some more grandchildren of Keturah's son Midian in verse 4. These were children of Keturah. Verse 5 says, Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac, but unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac, his son, while he yet lived eastward unto the east country. Well, we know that Abraham had relations with three women. Sarah, who was his wife, Hagar, who was Sarah's handmaid, and Keturah here. Each of Keturah and Hagar are called concubines, plural, in verse 6. And Sarah, we know, was his wife. However, Keturah also is called a wife in Genesis chapter 25 in verse 1. So a concubine is a wife. The person to whom she is married is her husband. Her father becomes his father-in-law, and she, by definition from Genesis 25, verse 1, is the wife of the man. So there we see one thing that clears up right away for us, and that is that a concubine is not something other than a wife. A concubine is a wife. She has a distinction from other wives in the same capacity that Hagar and Keturah are different than Sarah. Sarah being a principal wife. Some have said legitimate wife whenever they're talking about concubines, but Keturah is legitimate, and Hagar is legitimate. Okay, it's just that Sarah was the principal wife. Now, they didn't just have one principal wife. You know that because we can go to somebody that's very famous in the Bible who had numerous wives, and the distinction is made among them and the concubines. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 11, 1 Kings chapter 11, and look at verse 3. We're talking about Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 11, and look at verse 3. All right, in 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 3, the Bible tells us this. Solomon, in the context, had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Now, some people have said that the concubines were concubines because they were foreigners, okay, in some cultures. But that doesn't appear to be the case here, because the wives, in the context, are the ones that turn away his heart, and we know they're the foreigners. They come from Ammon and from Moab and other areas that are non-Jewish, okay? And they have him set up their gods, like Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites, and Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and Moloch, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And these were from his wives. Okay? They were called his strange wives in verse 8 of 1 Kings chapter 11. Likewise did he for all his strange wives, the Bible says, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. So a concubine then is not necessarily a foreigner compared to the wives because of what you see here in 1 Kings chapter 11. Okay? And one other thing that we want to notice is that somehow or another they do have a distinction from a wife by definition. Some have said that they were like a second class wife. Some have said, well, there was not a dowry involved in that marriage. The Bible doesn't really clearly distinguish for us what the difference is, okay? We know, for instance, that David had several wives. And when you read through the Bible, you find out who these are. You've got people like Abigail, Ahinoam. These were his wives, and they bear forth his children. And then you come through and you see the other wives and their names. And David has some of these when he's in Hebron. And then David has some of these when he gets into Jerusalem. And when David gets into Jerusalem, the Bible goes on to say that in addition to his wives, he had concubines. Okay? 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. What do we find here? Verse 4. David was 30 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Jerusalem and Judah. So he's taking wives part of the time while he's down in Hebron, and then more when he actually comes into Jerusalem. Okay? And notice what the Bible says in verse 13 of 2 Samuel chapter 5. David took him more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem after he was come from Hebron, and there were yet sons and daughters born to David. And these be the names of those that were born unto him in Jerusalem, Shemua and Shobab, Nathan and Solomon, Ibhar also, and Elishua, Nepheg and Japhia, Elishama and Eliada and Eliphelet. Interestingly enough, Solomon is listed among those. His mother was Bathsheba. You know the circumstances of that relationship with David. And yet, she was his wife. So you see, it can get to be very difficult for us to distinguish who is a wife and who is a concubine. Okay? Because we would certainly say, in the case of Bathsheba, that you might consider her to be more of a concubine than you would of a wife, okay? But the sons that were born to him, Solomon included, came from these, and Bathsheba was his wife. Now, you notice when we started out this, that a concubine, in fact, is also called a wife, as Keturah was in Genesis chapter 25. So, help us a little bit trying to get clear on all of this. Now, in our particular passage that we're studying today in Judges chapter 19, this woman is clearly called his concubine, and yet she is also his wife. So there is something about his relationship to her that distinguishes what relation this woman is, as opposed to whatever the full benefits or full classification of a wife would be in some other relationship. All right. In 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 7, Saul had a concubine. Her name was Rizpah. Okay? These concubines that David had in 2 Samuel chapter 5, we find out that some of these were left when David took exile after Absalom was trying to take away his throne. 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 16. All right? The king went forth and all his household after him, and the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house. Well, while David was gone, Ahithophel counseled Absalom to go into those concubines and lie with them publicly up on the top of the house so that people in the city would know that Absalom was abhorred of his father. And that would be used then to strengthen the people that were around Absalom in their desire to follow him figuring that David had gone into exile for good. So in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 22, they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house. Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. Well, of course, Absalom's coup or whatever to take over the kingdom failed. And so David came back and resumed his reign in Jerusalem. And when he did, he came to his house, according to 2 Samuel chapter 20, verse 3, and the king took the 10 women, his concubines, whom he had left to keep the house, and put them in ward. A warden at a prison is head of the ward. So a ward is a place where they were kept, secure, okay, and fed them, but went not in unto them. So he had no more relationships with them again. So they were shut up unto the day of their death, living in widowhood. So David would have no more relationships with them after what had happened. Okay? And that was because Absalom had gone into those women, and there had been a defilement there, and he didn't want to have relationships with them again. Okay? All this, I realize, may seem a little bit strange to you, but you do notice that while a concubine is a wife, there is some other classification. Okay? So that she has a second class, if you will, something that indicates she is not in the principal line of wives or the principal wife. Okay? Turn to Esther, for instance, in the book of Esther, and you see a very interesting arrangement here as the king, Ahasuerus, has put away his wife Vashti and has now tried to find another wife. And what he has done is that his men have gone around in Esther chapter 2 and found fair young virgins in his kingdom. One of the ones they found was Esther. And here's what they say. Esther 2:2. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins found or sought for the king. And let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, under the custody of Hege, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women. And let their things for purification be given them, and let the maiden which pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti, and the thing pleased the king. And he did so. Well, they find Esther, and things are given for her purification, and she has seven maidens, and the keeper of, or the chamberlain of the virgins, preferred her and her maids to the best place of the house of the women. That's verse 9. Now watch. Verse 12. When every maid's turn was come to go in to King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months according to the manner of women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with things for their purifying of the women. Then thus came every maiden unto the king, whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women, to the custody of Sheashgaz, watch it, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. So here we get a little bit clearer picture then. The concubine is somebody with whom he has slept one night, and then she is kept by, or in a different house, by a different chamberlain. So when Esther's turn comes, and she goes and spends her night with the king, verse 17 of Esther 2 says, the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. So she becomes his wife, the queen, and yet there is still this house where all these other women are, who are called the concubines. Now we've got a little bit better clue then. Evidently, what you have then is this woman who is there for the king's pleasure, that he can call her more than once, but if he's only called her once, she is still his concubine, and he has certain rights to her, and she has certain privileges from him, but she's not a wife in the same capacity as Esther. She is just somebody with whom he has slept, or somebody that has slept with him, see? So when you get to Daniel chapter 5, which is the same basic culture because it is the continuation of what went on in that kingdom, we find Belshazzar, who was now the king in the place of his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar, and he had commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem. Watch that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink in them. Two classes. Those with whom he has slept, and he's making some provision for them, and then those that are considered to be his principal wives, those with whom he that enjoy some royal benefit above those with whom he has merely slept. Okay? And that's about as clear as you can get it. Now you say, what are the implications for today? Well, they are vast. They are vast. Today you are living in a very promiscuous society. And that doesn't mean that human nature has changed by any stretch of the imagination. You read through this Bible and you see all kinds of wickedness going on in the past, and the same kind of wickedness is what's going on today. Human nature has not changed. It's in the gutter. That what has changed is that you have a lot more accessibility and you have a lot less morality controlling the work of human nature within our society. And so when you talk about the condition of society today, you are talking about a society that has more moral laxitude, and then you also have a society in which there is more availability, more acceptance of things that were taboo years ago. Okay? In other words, human nature has more liberty today. But in this process, what you have is you have a lot of promiscuity, you have a lot of fornication, you have a lot of people living together. Would you take a look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please, and notice something. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 15, know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. I don't know if you realize what you just read there. What you just read there is a terrible commentary on the promiscuity that is going on today. What you read is this. You have read that when a man joins his body to a woman, even if she is an harlot, they have created a union and have become one body. And Paul refers you back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, when Eve is made from the rib of Adam's body, where he says, two, saith he, shall be one flesh, and likens the joining of a man's body to an harlot as the same thing as what God put together when Eve came forth from Adam. One flesh. In other words, what you have today then is you have a concubinage. You have a concubine, a relationship. You have a wife and a husband is what you've got. I realize you don't have a marriage. I realize you don't have a ceremony in those same type of situations. But what you have is a physical relationship, which in the Old Testament carried with it certain responsibilities of taking care of that concubine and created certain relationships that went just beyond the joining of the flesh to include the parents, who in this case of the man from Bethlehem, Judah, was a father-in-law. Or the man from Mount Ephraim who married the woman from Bethlehem, Judah. He had a father-in-law, and this guy had never even met his son-in-law until he went to go get the woman back. Do you understand what's going on? All of this quote-unquote premarital or extramarital sex is is in the Old Testament something like the concubine situation. In other words, there are certain privileges and there are certain responsibilities that carry forward, and there is certainly the definition of one flesh. And when people say, well, is it right for us to be having premarital sex or extramarital sex? The answer to the question is a resounding no, unless you are willing to take responsibility for that and recognize the relationships that you have between the families that are joined by the one flesh where you now have in-laws. And boy, I'll tell you what, people aren't willing to go that far, then they have no business experiencing the physical pleasures that are available in marriage before they marry. Look, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, the Lord makes it very clear. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. In other words, when a family comes together and a husband and a wife are joined and they want to be together, what they do together and enjoy in the privileges of marriage, the Bible says, is honorable, and it is undefiled. Which indicates then if something takes place that is not involved in marriage, but is joining these bodies in these unions and joining these relationships in these unions, that is not honorable and it is defiled. Do you understand the application? So you get this view from the Old Testament of this concubine. It opens up a whole new understanding when you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and Hebrews chapter 13 about what's going on. Do not get involved in premarital or extramarital relations. Do you understand? Because you are creating unions that should not be put asunder.
You have been listening to the Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for the Unknown Bible.
Hallelujah.